Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and today's conversation is with Dr. Robert Childs, Senior Director at the Information Resources Management College within the National Defense University. Also joining us today from IBM is Jonathan Bruhl. Despite its traditional hierarchical structure, which is based on command and control systems and culture, the U.S. Department of Defense is committed to becoming a net-centric environment. Now, higher education is another very tradition-bound institution. Bob, first, would you tell us more about net-centricity and its applicability to higher education? And second, how does net-centric capabilities allow the IRM College to sense and respond to students, stakeholders, and practitioners' interests and needs?
Well, first of all, as far as higher education, historically, it's been a tradition-bound, slow-moving organization. It's kind of like an organization that wants to do something, but it's got a lot of constituencies, and there has to be buy-in from the different constituencies, and that always slows things down. The Department of Defense also has an ingrained cultural need and bias for a hierarchical structure. So we can't discount those things. We can take a look at some laws that have happened. Goldwater-Nichols in 1986 was required, and it came into being because the Congress thought that the services need to work together better. They needed to be one voice. They need to be integrated. What is net centricity? A lot of people have different definitions of that. And I think what I like best is the objective is to find and exploit information. But the network's only one of the ways to do this thing. Let me talk about what defense is trying to do, and then I'll try to change it what the college is trying to do. Sure. What defense is trying to do is provide needed information in a timely manner to those that need to make the decisions. And the better the information, the faster the information, the better the decision they can make. How do I provide data and information to the decision maker? Supply chain management is a perfect example. If you look at the private sector, and often the military and the government turns to the private sector to see how companies use information technology and use a net-centric operation. The Department of Defense have been working and pushing this concept, and it's a good concept, but implementing it's not really an overall network. It is truly a network of networks where you plug and play and you can come into it where you need to get to it. But that leads to the question, what can we do in government in net centricity? I'd like to drop the word net centricity for a minute and talk about things like communities of practice, which we've had for a long time, where like-minded individuals can get together and share information. And the other things that are going on, the wikis, the blogs, Facebook. Now, the problem is separating the personal from the business. Sure. I think you need a corporate strategy to use it. How is the corporation, how is the organization going to use it for mutual benefit? I think reaching out to other institutions for awareness and everything is incredibly important. What we have done at the IRM College, we're working with a number of groups like the Armed Forces Communication and Electronics Association. They're very good in connections between industry and DOD. The Industry Advisory Council and the American Council on Technology are very good industry to government in general. There's many academic partners that we have, and we have many partners in the private sector. So when you talk about net centricity, I like to think of a hub. The new vision of the IRM College is the global hub for educating, informing, and connecting people. So net centricity to me is connecting people with the information and other people when and where they need it.
So as a follow-up, how has this type of sense and respond approach enabled you to take what was arguably a little-known institution of 400 students in the early 90s to the institution that you have today? And what have been some of the lessons learned along that path?
Well, the lessons learned are have a lot of friends and a lot of partners. Let me give you a couple vignettes of things that happened. The National War College and the Industrial College students will attend our elective programs at the IRM College. We had some students from Romania. They really liked what we were doing, and they came back to us after their 10-month program at National War College was completed. And they said, we need an academy that deals with chief information officer competencies in our country. Can you help us? Well, we talked to OSD, and they encouraged us to do this. So we helped those people set up a CIO academy. Well, there's other people in Europe that go to that academy, and all of a sudden we're now getting students from Bulgaria, Georgia, the Czech Republic, and the list goes on and on that way. The same thing happened with Sweden. We had a student that came over, went through our 14-week advanced management program, and he convinced their government that there were areas that we teach in information assurance that were absolutely critical to Sweden. Consequently, I have a team of four faculty members that are teaching over in Sweden. Singapore, we've had a number of students from Singapore. They talk to other people, and now we're hearing from Japan, we're hearing from South Korea. Once somebody finds out about us, it tends to spread like wildfire. But it's person to person. The one thing I've learned, it's like interviews like this where the word on our college gets out, and it's stories. Nobody will come and do a story on an educational program. That's not exciting media news. However, if you put on a conference like cloud computing, if you have a symposium put on cyberspace and challenges or threats, if you have labs that are the best that anybody could go to that show the latest and greatest technology, people become interested and they write stories. Other people read those stories and then they say, well, how are you incorporating this into programs? How can we learn about it? So it kind of works that way. It's a little bit hit and miss, to be quite honest with you.
Well, tell us more about the Chief Financial Officers Academy. How does that seek to inform students to learn most effectively and efficiently how to use government resources and work across boundaries, particularly to achieve national security goals? Okay. And who's eligible to participate in this program?
Okay, the CFO Academy, I'd like to tell the story on that, because the history of the IRM College is individual faculty members going out and doing things, making connections, and using their expertise. And in this case, Dr. Jay Alden went out and he talked to Linda Combs. And Linda Combs suggested that CFOs needed many of the strategic leadership concepts that the IRM College was teaching. We then went to Tina Jonas, who was the comptroller at the time, and Tina was very interested in establishing a CFO academy. And lo and behold, when you look at the competencies, you know, you overlay the competencies of a CIO and a CFO, and many are very the same, probably 65%, somewhere in that range. What they were looking for is there are plenty of budgeting schools and schools that teach the budgeting function, but there was no place where chief financial officers could go and understand how to use information and information technology and how to become strategic leaders. In other words, don't give me the budget. Sit down and be part of the strategic planning team. And what better place to meet and learn what CIOs are thinking about and CFOs are thinking about than putting them together in classes and letting them work together and think about these things? So that's how it came together. And once again, I'm back to one of those principles, crossing boundaries. We just crossed the big boundary there. The program seems to be getting legs, and it seems to be generating a lot of interest.
So it's more than just the technical aspects of their work, but how their work fits into the broader context of the organization and its mission.
It's about strategic leading is what it's about. Technology is only a small part of it, but obviously in the job, using and moving information is critical. I mean, if you look at your companies, your insurance companies and your banking companies, for example, they're huge in using information technology, and information assurance, because they have to or they're dead in the water. So they have to become strategic thinkers.
Now, some have referred to your advanced management program as a 3.5-month learning boot camp. Could you elaborate on this program and its method of teaching, and what competencies does this program seek to bestow on its students?
The Advanced Management Program is a 14-week program, and that was going to be our main program. But changing with the times, agencies couldn't give up that many people for that long a period of time. So that's when we started breaking it up, the different competencies, into intensive week-long courses. The program was modeled after your typical executive program at, you know, a Harvard or a Duke or a Stanford or someplace like that. What we're trying to do is it's a seminar environment that's crossing boundaries once again. You have somebody with State Department, EPA, FAA, Department of Defense, a few international students. In fact, I might mention that the class normally has about 32 students now, and about 25% of those are international. As a sidelight, it's fascinating because a number of these countries, originally when we opened it to international students, we thought we were going to get, you know, the UK and France and Italy and Japan, but it's Romania, Bulgaria, the Czech Republic, Malaysia, places like that. Because a lot of these countries see the use of information and information technology as a way to leapfrog the industrial age. They don't have to hardwire everything.
Sure.
They can go to wireless and they can become world competitors, whether it's in business or whether it's in military, by using these techniques. But that program was a leadership program. Our concern from the very beginning was the military is exceptionally good in educating their people, from going up from squadron level to command and staff to the senior levels, the National War Colleges, the colleges the Army and the Air Force run. But there's no similar program for civilians. So our thought was, okay, the civilians not only provide the continuity but need to provide the leadership. So what kind of leadership program can we put in place for civilians to come to? So that was the purpose of that program, and it's fulfilling that very well today.
That's great. What is cloud computing, and how is IRM College leading DoD in operating in virtual environments? We will ask Dr. Robert Childs, Senior Director at the Information Resources Management College, when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.